Luke chapter 24. We've been taking a little look in past weeks about the places that the Lord sat down at the table with others, and we want to continue on that thought this morning and take a look at supper at Emmaus. Luke chapter 24, we'll start reading in verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Well, what same day is referred to here? Pardon?
The day he rose.
Yes. The same day that Christ rose from the dead, the scene is taking place. And there's two of them. Verse number 14, and they talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. What does verse number 19 tell us about these disciples?
Still don't know that he's God.
Yes, they still have a low view of who Jesus is. Verse number 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside this, today is the third day since these things were done. What have they shown us here concerning their further ignorance? But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel.
Now will we restore to us the
king? I think it has something to do with the fact that they haven't even realized that he died for them. They're still completely ignorant of the fact that Messiah was to die for their sins.
Well, we see over and over and over and over again that the Jews didn't believe that they sinned anyways.
That's true. Verse number 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. Remember, this had just happened hours ago. And when they found not his body, they came and said that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now the fact that they've taken off from Jerusalem and they're on the road to Emmaus tells us what? They didn't believe the women either. Verse 25. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's pretty harsh. She's calling them fools. And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What does this tell you about their real understanding of the scriptures? But see, most of the Jews were that way. They were looking for an entirely different Messiah than the one that they had received. They were looking for the conquering Messiah, and they had failed to recognize that he was the suffering Messiah because they didn't like to talk about the suffering Messiah. They just couldn't understand why such a thing would be necessary. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? What's the Lord saying back to them here? Shouldn't I have done this? The fact that you don't understand what's done, you could understand that, don't you think I should have done what I have done if you really think that I'm the Messiah? Verse 27, they obviously need a scripture lesson. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. Do you suppose he quoted Isaiah 53 to them? Yes, I have a pretty good idea that he did. And what do you suppose they'd have said, or at least thought? Is that in there? We never hear that read in the synagogue.
It says all the scriptures. It seems like there'd be a lot of scriptures though,
doesn't it? Well, some out of Isaiah, some out of some of the other prophets. Verse 28, and as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, they're coming to Emmaus, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is spent, and he went in to tarry with them. a perfect stranger, and yet they realized, we need to invite him to dinner. This time he didn't invite himself like he did with Zacchaeus, but they constrained him. You've got to come in and stay with us for tonight. So he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, verse 30, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew him as he vanished out of their sight. It's in the breaking of bread. It's in the communion that they recognized who he was. Not until they sat down at the table and the Lord broke the bread did they understand who he was. But in that moment, their eyes are opened and they knew him. What are you to make out of this? And they knew him, gnosko. In what way did they know him?
Can we go to John 10 now?
Well, we could, yes. My sheep hear my voice. Yes. But in what way did they know him? Yes, and that's the point of this whole thing, which we'll get to in just a moment. They recognize that this is the same physical person that we've been accompanying with for the last 3 years, but they don't know him in the sense of being the crucified Messiah and their Savior. They still haven't got that down. And they really don't have it down until the day that he ascends into heaven. And they betray that by the question that they ask. Yes, Brother Sam? Yes, but Cleophas was one of the disciples. Yes. Yeah, he was. So, well, it's because it was customary in those days for people to be known by different names. That's one of the things that causes confusion for Bible students is, what person is this? Which John are we talking about here? Which Paul are we talking about? And so, yes.
Verse 33, it says, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. Sounds like they weren't part of the 11.
That's a good point. Good catch.
I don't know what Cleophas says, though.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That was one of the names of the 12. Okay, be that as it may, let's press on here. And in verse number 20, what do we learn? And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. They're sitting at meat now.
You know, he said, like a serpent that must be looked at in the wilderness over and over again. He predicted the crucifixion, and they still didn't get it.
That's true. That's true. Does it have a further meaning?
I'm going to say yes, but you're going to have to tell me.
The idea of national Israel?
Mm-hmm. Yes. He was put to death for a purpose. What are the disciples thinking about his death at this point? They're thinking, well, it was just a plot of the Romans, and because of that rat Judas, who betrayed him into the hands of the Romans, his death seemed more of a happenstance than it did as a part of a plan. So they're actually saying some things here that they probably don't understand the import of. How our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Notice that they leave the Romans completely out of this. It's the chief priests. And truly it was, because what was Pilate's take on the whole thing? I find no fault in this man. Pilate condemns him because the Jews insist on it being done. Now, that's an amazing thing when you stop and think about it. They're not trying to blame the Romans here. There's some understanding here that Israel has something to do with this, really, in a large way. But what do we find now when Christ is sitting with these two at bread? It's a threefold cord. These two disciples are sitting at the table, but Christ is there with them, and it's a threefold cord. And what do they say about a threefold cord? It's pretty difficult to be broken. This shows us an importance of Christian fellowship, where two or three are gathered together in my name. It's a wonderful thing that we have an individual salvation, but when we get together and Christ is with us in the midst as he is, then there's a special import to that. In verse number 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And here we get to what Brother Sam, I think, was alluding to a moment ago. The time that they could openly walk by sight with the Lord Jesus, which they had been doing for the past 3 years, that time now is over. How is it that the just are to live? It's repeated 4 times in Scripture. It's the thing that got Martin Luther started. The just shall live by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. And it's time for these disciples to start learning to walk by faith. Now, when's the great thing going to happen that shows them that and illuminates that in their minds? It's going to be 50 days, but pardon? Yeah, on the day of Pentecost, this now rings true to them. So the Lord Jesus now, 50 days before Pentecost, is dealing with them in such a way that they start to understand, you can't count on my physical presence with you. No, you have to learn to recognize me in a completely different way. Our connection is from henceforth severed physically, but established spiritually. That's what happens at the day of Pentecost. So this is a time of preparation for them. Now, when he was with them, they'd come to depend on him for everything. He's the miracle worker. You don't have any food? Not a problem. You're being attacked or oppressed? Not a problem. You die? Not a problem. He deals with all these things, and they see him do it, but he's there with them in the flesh, and that's how they've come to know him, and that's how they've come to trust him. Things need to change. Yes?
So, getting into what they're thinking in those 3 days before they meet up with him, are they thinking, wow, we've been following this guy for 3 years, and they killed him, so now we have to find the Messiah?
What things? But it was he that we trusted. Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying. This didn't turn out the way we thought it would. We thought that he had given all these signs to Israel and that the time was coming when he was going to take up his kingship over the nation of Israel. But they've already learned an important lesson that it wasn't to happen then. Yes, Brother Casey?
They also say that they understood all these different things, and then he said by the third day, something big's going to happen. So here's the third day, and they haven't seen anything big happen, so their trust is still
smack in their face.
Yeah, well, we trusted that it was he that should have delivered Israel. Did they really trust? Is there such a thing as a physical trust as over and against a spiritual hope? And by the way, the word hope means an earnest expectation. It doesn't mean pie in the sky. Yeah, there's a huge difference. They were physically trusting a physical Christ to physically reign over Israel. But if they'd been paying attention, something has happened prior to this that would show them that that's not the case. Right then. Remember his entry into Jerusalem? What did the people want to do? They wanted to crown him king. What was his answer? No, I have an appointment with the cross. They're not recognizing these things. So they're now starting to learn that the just shall live by faith, not by sight. That's the way they've been conducting themselves up to this point. So something is being learned. They have to be weaned away from his physical presence. Well, is there something here that reflects on the times in which we live? I mean, outside of your what would Jesus do pin?
We don't get to see him every day, but we have that spiritual communion.
Yeah, but there's some things that go on in churchianity that give the lie to this. What's the idea with this fascination with the charismatics and their sign gifts? We have to to see some physical manifestation.
You're not, I've been told I'm not Christian enough because I haven't spoken in the tongues of angels.
Yes, and you're sick because you just don't have enough faith. And what about the prosperity gospel? Isn't it the same thing? People want to see some physical token. They speak about putting their fleece out. Is that walking by faith?
It's looking for a sign.
Yes. Show us a sign. Well, we should have learned from the Gospels that the Jews, their constant chant was, show us a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign. And they finally got to the place where Jesus said, okay, but only one more. I'll show you the sign of the prophet Jonas. When he fulfilled that sign, did they believe? No, it's because physical manifestations are a far cry from spiritual understanding. This is what they have to learn. And that's what's wrong with expecting these physical manifestations. Does that mean that God doesn't do miracles anymore? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But when you try to conjure them up, when you have a desire, you're like one of the disciples. I won't believe unless... Which one of them was like that?
Thomas.
What's the difference between the charismatics and Thomas? Thomas saw and believed. He didn't have to put his fingers into the nail prints. He didn't have to thrust his hand into the Lord's side. And not only that, he makes a further reaching confession than any of the other disciples. He says, my Lord, capital L-O-R-D, and my God, Kurios and Theos. My Lord and my God. Walking by faith. Slow of heart. Yes. Luke chapter 6 and verse 44. Luke chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. What was the question the Lord asked as he approached these disciples on the road? What manner of communications are these? What are you guys on about? Naturally, they could talk of nothing else. This is Resurrection Day. They've already heard that which they sort of dismiss as idle talk of the women that went to the sepulchre. And they saw the Lord Jesus and came and reported it. And then Peter goes to the sepulchre and finds that the body isn't there. John goes with him. Peter checks out the forensics. John has the immediate realization that he's risen from the dead. Wow. They bug out of town. But they're sure talking about this. What does all this mean? Well... can you see that their faith is extremely weak? What sort of treasure are they taking out of their hearts? What have they done that the Scripture says that we ought not to do? And for the sake of time, we won't go back and read the Scripture. But what does the Scripture have to say about understanding and faith? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Because our own understanding cannot encompass the context of God's Word. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. Unless we're born again, now we can start to see things, can't we? Why is it that suddenly when we're born again we have spiritual insight that we never had before? It's the missing ingredient here on the road to Emmaus. The day of Pentecost hasn't come. They have not yet received the Holy Spirit. They're still walking by sight. They're still leaning on their own understanding, what they think the Messiah ought to be, what they think that the Messiah should have been doing, and now he's been crucified, and the rug's been cut out from under them, and they don't know what to do. That's why we should never trust physical manifestations to allow ourselves to be convinced of something spiritual. Does that mean that sometimes the things that we can learn in the world aren't relevant? Yes, they are. What is natural revelation? I thought I'd throw out a few examples before we give up on this. That's exactly it. The heavens declare the glory of God. It's true. But is natural revelation enough for a person to be saved? If you took all the scriptures out of the scripture that deal with natural revelation, would it sum up enough for someone to be born again? No. Yes, and of course natural revelation is part of the Word of God, but it isn't the part that we need to be born again. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in what he did. Well, sometimes we like to lean on science to prove certain arguments that we have as a bolster for what the scripture says. In other words, we might look at some scientific discovery and say, well, the Word of God said that before you did. What might be some of those? The earth's round. Yeah! Just as I was hoping nobody would go there. This is being recorded, you know.
Emeralds are really bad.
Yes, emeralds are bad. We've learned that as well. Yeah, we learned that the earth is round. We learned many other things as well. When God challenges Job, it goes back to that very thing concerning the physical creation. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? What holds the earth up in space? Well, modern science explains some of those things, but does that make it true? Only if it agrees with the Word of God. That's why some kinds of science are more valid than other kinds of science, like the social sciences. Yeah, there are places where that's a good argument to make. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Any molecular biologist that's worth his salt should be willing to admit that. They don't, but they should. So here on the road to Emmaus, once again, to sum it all up, what's the lesson that we get here with Christ breaking bread with these disciples? And then he vanishes out of their sight. He doesn't stick around and explain anything. He just vanishes out of their sight.
Is that to strengthen and encourage their faith?
Sure, absolutely. He's teaching them the time for you to walk by sight is long past. It's time for you now to learn how to walk by faith. Let's pray.